You're listening to Main Street on CBC Radio 1. I'm Angela Walker. Many people strive for the salary and security that comes with a provincial government job, especially here in the Atlantic region. A new report by the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies says the civil service is an expense that's growing. The Institute's policy analyst, Jackson Dohart, was one of the authors, and I spoke with him earlier. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Angela?
Just great. Can you tell us why Ames wanted to look at this particular issue?
Well, a couple of years ago, we did a study about the size and cost of the public sector, and the original researchers basically just wanted to look into what seemed to be the case, which was that there were more provincial public service employees than elsewhere, but there were no real data to support it, so they looked into it and found that it was indeed the case. And this year at Ames, we decided that we wanted to do a bit more work on the public sector thing. So we have a couple of projects in the pipe, but the first one was to update that study, which includes Statistics Canada data for 2015 about the size and cost of the public sector in Atlantic Canada. Kind of the main metric that we put out in our executive summary, for instance, is the number of public sector employees per 1,000 residents. And the reason we do that is just to make it an easier comparison between the provinces with different populations. So on PEI, there are 93 public service employees per 1,000 residents. That is the second smallest, actually, in Atlantic Canada. Newfoundland has 109 public servants per 1,000, and Nova Scotia has 101. New Brunswick, meanwhile, has decreased, and it is now at 81 public servants per 1,000, which is below the national average. And another interesting point that I might draw to your attention is the historical trend for this statistic. So Prince Edward Island in 1997, which was the first year in which these data were available, had 89 public employees per 1,000. It now has 93, so it's increased about 5% in that time, but that's lower than the national average of 10%, actually. So on the long historical trend, PEI is doing pretty well by this metric.
Now, does Ames want to see, the number of provincial government employees reduced? Is that what you're looking for here?
Well, what we're presenting is the fact that if you look at the number of employees for the provincial governments above the national average, and we take what that costs, we can say that if they were to reduce the number of public sector employees, it would save a considerable amount of money for the provincial governments. Now, it's not the only source of savings, certainly, and this is part of a larger conversation about bringing the expenses of government within the means of government. On Prince Edward Island, we calculated that in 2015, based on the numbers we found, and the 2015-16 budget deficit, the government could have saved a little more than $100 million if it had employed the national average number of employees instead of what it did. But that's considerably less money than could have been saved in Newfoundland and Labrador and Nova Scotia. For example, in Nova Scotia, they would have saved over $1 billion, and in Newfoundland and Labrador, they would have saved $986 million, and I mention that figure specifically because it happens that the budget deficit last year in Newfoundland was also exactly $986 million. So you see that these are big numbers, and they suggest that there is room for a bit more restraint so that the governments wouldn't have to pay as much for the public sector wage bill.
For Prince Edward Island, if you're looking at our numbers, how many jobs would have been lost under that scenario?
1,500.
1,500 provincial government workers.
If they'd only employed the national average.
That's a lot of jobs on Prince Edward Island and good-paying jobs. So there's the flip side of that. Those people perhaps would leave the province. Those people wouldn't be spending in our shops, that sort of thing. Did you look at that end of it?
Well, we've said that obviously this isn't the only area for reductions. And also, it's not necessarily about getting just right to the national average. different provinces in Canada have different needs, and so they need to employ different numbers of people. But if you look at the historical trend over the last 20 years, you see, for example, that Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, for example, have had a considerable increase in their number of provincial public sector employees. PEI has had less so, and in fact, they've reduced it over the last few years, which is good. But what we're saying is if the Atlantic provinces could have a long-term strategy in which they said over the next 10 years we want to decrease the gap between us and the national average, they could save a lot of money. It's not necessarily about having to fire anyone. If you talk about a long-term strategy, say, look over the next 10, 15 years and say, okay, we want to reduce the gap between us and the national average. As I mentioned earlier, the gap between PEI and the national average isn't as much as it is for other Atlantic provinces. We could say, okay, we're going to not replace some of the people who retire or whose positions come up. That would be one way of saving without having to have anyone actually lose their job. And another way, of course, would be to control the average wage. If they could bring that average wage down and therefore reduce the wage bill as a result of that high average wage, they would be able to get to the savings without having to have as many fewer employees in the public service to capture those savings.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Angela.
Jackson Dohart is a policy analyst with the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, and he's from Kensington originally.